The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
I would like for you to take your Bibles, please. You're going to want your Bible. If you don't have one, look on with a neighbor. You're probably going also to want to take some notes because I want to talk with you today about how believers can maintain peace in their lives. Pastor Rick, I think, quite aptly said a minute ago that sometimes we think, especially this time of year, that peace is the absence of conflict, or at least it feels that way, and a lot of people looking around for peace. And there is a phrase in our epistle reading today in Romans that I'd like for you to look at. We'll start there, and you'll find it in Romans 1, yes. Right off the bat in the beginning, where Paul is writing his usual greeting. This greeting, or a form of it, appears in all of Paul's letters. And I want to zero in on it, please, in verse number 7. You can go back and read this little paean of praise to the Lord Jesus. Is packed full of Christology, but in the 7th verse in particular, you see the little phrase that I'm talking about, where he says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Apart from the fact that you are not in Rome, does that also apply to you right now? You are loved of God and you are called to be saints, yes? Okay, then it says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see it? Now, you may have a slightly different translation, but the gist is the same, grace and peace. And in this particular sense, Paul is coining a slight variation on a typical Greek and a typical Hebrew greeting. Peace, or shalom, is a typical Jewish greeting. And we've talked before about what shalom means. It's a lot more than peace. It's a full thing. It's a complete thing. Everything is in its place. All is ordered. All is as it should be. In the case of grace, Paul is, I wonder, reminding his Christian readers that the charis, the grace that we have in Christ Jesus, that unearned favor that we have in Christ, includes a marvelous gift. And that marvelous gift is peace. Did you ever think about peace being a gift? It is. And not only is it a gift, Jesus promised it. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But it's also your covenant birthright. It's part of your inheritance. Imagine if you were the recipient of a piece of property. That property is part of your inheritance. And you walked up to the edge of that property and you said, this is mine, but you never walked on it. You never stepped foot over into it. You never claimed it. I wonder to what extent do believers do the same thing if they never claim their inheritance of peace? We've been promised it. I want you to do something. I want you to take just a moment, and I want you, whatever your translation, I want you to look at that little snippet, that little phrase there. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll bet you could even memorize that just here in just half a second. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to turn to your neighbor, and since they'll also be turning, you'll have to do this, like, you know, carefully in a couple of minutes. But not in a silly way. I want you to really take a moment, maybe even place a hand on your neighbor's shoulder. I want you to look into their eyes. Pause just a moment. Look for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to give them this blessing. Grace and peace to you. From God our Father. What's the next bit? And from the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do that right now, please?
And peace.
Can you give me just, this isn't necessarily in the sermon, but can you give me just a little feedback about what that was like to receive that? You got choked up to receive it. Why? Heather says she got choked up. I'm asking her why. Why? You need it. Somebody else, what was it like to receive that? Yes. Caitlin, oh, that's... Caitlin says that's really good. Caitlin says it's powerful to receive that from someone you know who knows God. The relationship. Yeah, Paul. It's such a blessing. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there's weight and power there. Good. Anybody else? One more. Yes, John. John says it seems like a direct message from God. Now let me ask this. What is it like to give the blessing? What is that like? Can you share with me about that? What is it like to give that blessing? Laura says comforting reminder. What do you mean exactly? So you are also receiving a blessing at the same time you're giving it. Yeah, I think so too. Tony, huh? It does. It makes beautiful sense. Tony says, it feels like God is using me, hands, feet, skin, to give that blessing. One more, yes? Yes. She says, it feels like you're walking on sacred ground. Did you feel, sense, experience, peace when you did that? If we're being honest, we probably would say, at least I would, I can only speak for me, that maintaining peace, even for us believers, is a difficult thing. Yeah. So I want to show you four things in some research this week, some just good old Bible digging about how to maintain peace. You're going to want to write these down. Because sometime this week, maybe especially this week, when you open up a toaster and you wanted it to be a blender, I don't know. Oh, hey, Aunt Wanda, I didn't know you were coming for 5 days. Sometime this week, you're going to lose your peace. So I have four things for you and some Bible verses. So we're going to go quickly. You're going to want to write it down. I encourage you to do it. Get out something to write with. And Richard can help you if you throw up a hand and say, hey, I need something to write with. I'll bet he can help you with. First one, how believers can maintain peace. First of all, through remaining in Christ. The first one is through remaining in Christ. Look, please, at John 15. Zip over to John's Gospel, the 15th verse. We're in this neck of the woods in John where Jesus is talking about relationship. He's talking about who he is. He's talking about, therefore, who his disciples are, talking about being and doing. I'm at John 15, 4 through 7. John 15, 4 through 7, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, in a minute, we're going to read that peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Yes? And Jesus is saying right here that apart from him, we will not bear fruit. So is it possible then that if there's not a lot of peace in your life, you may be disconnected somewhat from the vine? Can I get an amen up in here? Okay. Now, go please to the next chapter, John 16, and look at verse 33. Why is he telling us these things? Well, he is getting ready to depart. He's already told the disciples he's leaving. And he says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. There it is. Where is peace located? Is it in you? Is it in your toaster? Your car? Is it in your circumstances? It's certainly not in Aunt Wanda. In this world, you will have trouble. There's another promise that for the life of me, I don't know how most Christians miss. This notion that somehow as Christians we are going to be exempt from trial and tribulation is a false gospel. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have tribulation. But then he says, take heart, I have overcome the world. If that doesn't give you goosebumps, then there's something wrong with your goosebumper. I have told you these things so that you will have peace. No, I left out something. I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. One more place. Look at Romans. Back to Romans now, chapter 5. This again under the heading of how believers maintain peace through remaining in Christ. Last stop for this point, Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have perfect peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. Paul is putting together grace and peace. They are linked. How is it that we have peace? Through Christ, and that by grace. Peace is a gift. Peace is your inheritance. Peace comes to you because of your covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that through faith, and that because you've gained access by faith, and that into grace. Peace is yours. How does a believer maintain peace? Through remaining in Christ. That's point number one. Point number two is through living by the Holy Spirit. Please go to Romans 8 while you are still in Romans and look at verses 6 through 8. Romans 8, 6 through 8. We're now talking about living by the Holy Spirit. This one hits close to home. I'm going to go back to verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is what? Death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Did you ever notice that? The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Paul is saying that your mind is either going to be set on sinful nature, or it's going to be set on what the Spirit desires. Do you know, of course you do. Do you know people whose television channel is, I'm talking about in here, television channel is set on sinful desire? And that's set, that's what comes to mind when I think, when I read the word set, the channel, it's set on that. And everything in their life seems to be roiling about because of that channel being set up here on that sinful thing. It has ripple effects on everything in their lives. There is no peace. If you're not experiencing peace in your life, it could be that you're not plugged into the vine. You're not in the vine, as we looked at the last time, in the last point. It could also be that your mind is set on sinful junk. Paul says that peace comes around when your mind is set on those things that are controlled by the Spirit. And the mind that is controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Think just a minute. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us to think just a minute about the stuff in our lives, the channels in our lives that our minds are set to. And I pray, oh, Holy Spirit, that you'll help us not to click on those channels anymore, to not walk in those pathways anymore. Holy Spirit, give us a mind controlled by you so that we can have life and peace. You already probably know this passage, but please turn to that wonderful passage in Galatians. It's that wonderful fruit of the Spirit passage. Paul is writing to the Galatians, and he talks about life by the Spirit. So remember, we are in the second point, how we maintain peace through living by the Holy Spirit. You can go back at your own leisure and look at verse 16 and following. But then he says, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, in contrast to the acts of sinful nature, when your television set is set on the sinful nature, where there will be no peace, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. You don't have peace in your life, then you're not bearing fruit. You're not in the vine, and your television set, metaphorically speaking, well, maybe not. Your television set is on the wrong channel. That's point number two. Point number three, how believers can maintain peace. Number three, through obedience to God's word. One verse for you, please, in the middle of Psalm 119. Please turn to the middle of your Bible, Psalm 119. Are you at Psalm 119? I haven't given you the verse yet, have I? Verse 165. So flip all the way over to 165. Now you can find lots of Bible verses that talk about the love of reading God's word. But here's a lovely one for you to write down and put on your dashboard of your car or mirror in the bathroom. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. I will wait for your salvation, O Lord. I will follow your commands. I will obey your statutes. Psalm 119, 165. Are you there? I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. I obey your precepts and your statutes, for all my ways are known to you. I love that. Great peace have they who love your law. Are you meditating on that? Are you in the vine? What channel are you plugged into? I remember there was a time where Sheila did not have a lot of peace, and it was because she had a besetting physical issue, and she was at one of the most tough places of her life. Some of you remember this, and there was lots and lots and lots of prayer. And what she did, and I admire her greatly for it, was tons of Bible verses on cards. And she committed them to memory. And not only did she commit them to memory, but she stuck them up all over the house. The house was plastered with promises of God and who she is in God and reminders about God's sovereignty all over the house. Some of them are still there. And she would tell you that they brought great peace. Third point. Believers can maintain peace through obedience to God's word. Be hearers of the word and doers of it as well. Fourth and final point. prayer and meditation. Isaiah 26:3 is another wonderful verse that you can print on a little something-something and put where you can see it daily. Commit it to memory. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." Oh, what a great verse. Look at your neighbor and say, "Oh, what a great verse." And one that you probably know already, but let's go there anyway. Turn to Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Many of you know it already. If you don't, this needs to be a place. This needs to be a go-to place in your Bible. It's kind of a recipe for peace. "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again, rejoice. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And if you're not setting your mind on sinful things, well then, okay, Pastor Chris, what do I need to set my mind on? Well, Paul tells us right here, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Listen to me, beloved. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a gift of God. Jesus promised it. "My peace I leave you, not as the world gives, give I peace unto you, but my peace I give." Claim it and maintain it. On this day where we light the candle of peace, step into your birthright and maintain it. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, some of us here today may not have much peace. I must confess that sometimes I'm not in the vine, that sometimes my mind is set on deathly flesh. I must confess that I do not live by the Spirit always, that I'm not praying and meditating as I should, and that I'm not being obedient to your word. I pray that you will give me a reminder of the gift that you have already given me, and that is the peace that is my covenant birthright. And I pray that for all these saints here today. We pray for your peace, and that we would also extend the boundaries of your peaceable kingdom to others. As we pray these things in the name of the giver of peace, whose name is also the Prince of Peace. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.